Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's start with the good. Memphis basketball covers. They get the job done last night against New Orleans. Yeah, they kept saying that this is the biggest New Orleans team, one of the biggest teams in Division I. Just watching on TV, and I wasn't there. Just watching on TV, it didn't seem like that team was big at all. It felt like Memphis's pressure was really bothering them just from the beginning of the game. They were up 20 at the half, and really I feel like could have picked the number here. And this is with, by the way, Memphis basketball not having Curtis Givens and Ashton Hardaway. Sincere Parker came in questionable. Aaron Bradshaw did not play. And then Thierno Silla only played 2 minutes. So Memphis was, it was pretty shorthanded. And Pennyak said it was a good thing because it shortened the rotation. So there you have it. Thedford started the game on fire, and then he unfortunately left. He had 13 points in 10 minutes. I mean, he was just doing these folks in.
Yeah, he was.
Before he got hurt.
His first four shots, something like that.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he could have come back. They just, decided not to risk it.
Good.
So Memphis wins 86-70. They're now 3-4 on the season. I believe they jumped 14 spots in the net as a result of
Useful.
The win. Yes,
Useful.
We'll certainly take that. They were 160 going in, and as of today, let me make sure they haven't moved any more. They maybe have moved even more than that. Yeah, no, they're still 146. So they jumped 14 spots after the win.
Double digit wins are good.
Double digit wins are certainly good. It beats the alternative. New Orleans was a team that beat TCU. They beat Tulane. How they did it, I don't know. They look bad to me. Obviously, they're supposed to be bad. They're New Orleans. They don't have any money until Master P showed up. So he's going to need to put some more money into it, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's where I'm at with it. But Memphis wins, and now it sets up a very, very big game against Baylor on Saturday, 3:30 on CBS. That'll be available locally on Channel 3 for those who don't know. But there's it feels like a bigger conversation maybe to be had right now about Memphis, and that is – and again, I wasn't there last night, so I'm part of the problem. But the crowd last night, you got the pictures. I got pictures sent to me about the crowd last night. Obviously, Wednesday night against a lowly opponent, team's not performing very well anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like just one of the sparsest crowds they've had, non-weather related, that I can remember under Penny Hardaway. There have been some bad weather related, and I get people. And I give Memphis grace for that, because if the weather is bad, the weather is bad. People
right.
don't want to get out in that. But it was a night, frankly, that no Grizzlies, right? I mean, I know it's a lowly opponent, but there's not a lot else going on. And they announced the lowest attendance in the Penny Hardaway era, non-COVID related, 9,123. Believe it or not, even that South Florida game that was impacted by the ice and everything, which they blew a 20-point lead or whatever.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
That attendance was higher, 10,531. Now, we know that actual butts and seats is never this. We know it wasn't 10,531 against South Florida. We know it wasn't 9,123 last night, but it absolutely feels like this thing in terms of attendance is going the wrong way. Now, it's not nearly as bad as the Tubby Smith. I think people will be shocked when they go back and look at the announced attendance numbers from the Tubby Smith era. Those were consistently in the 5,000 to 7,000 range. I mean, just, and again, that's announced. So you have to, and there's a ticket sold, whatever you want to say. We know those games were getting like 2,000 to 3,000 max, like in terms of going. So we're not in Tubby Smith territory, Jason, but it does worry me a lot. Not for Saturday. Saturday will have a above 10,000 crowd, not against Vandy, not against these, but it worries me for January through March when we know American play starts, and that's when the crowds tend to kind of drop off from whatever the level is. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, when folks have tickets and they're not showing up, it can also, and we know it, be symbolic of folks saying, you know, speaking with their lack of presence.
Yep.
Obviously.
Yep.
You know, whether that's about Penny or the nature of college basketball and everything else, team flipped 15 new guys, got to learn them, all that stuff. And
yep.
You get off to a bad start. Let's be real, too. You come back from, you know, you lose that game to UNLV. You don't pick up one you should have. You should have come back 1-1 from the Bahamas against Wake Forest there. Having Doug miss the free throw, you didn't do that. And so, you know, it's you're a disappointing start. You got a multitude of factors that contribute to it. But it's a problem for the university. I'm not going to sit up here and put lipstick on it. You know, that was the case. And it, you know, math and lack of butts and seats became the reason why you had to swallow, you know, a $10 million buyout, essentially, for Tubby Smith, because it can't go that way. Now, a couple things have changed. I would say back then, too, with Tubby Smith, basketball's still the forefront. That's why you were willing to pay him $3 million to come here off top. And times have changed. Football needs to be at the forefront now. And while that is the case, still what you can't have is a dying product.
Exactly.
Right? Even if it's not at the front of the chessboard anymore.
It's a balance.
You cannot have a dying product that people are checked out on.
Exactly.
And especially one that's been, let's be real, I mean, just as important to that athletic department as Memphis has. And so you can't just let that thing sit there and wither on a vine, is my point.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a problem.
It's a big problem.
I don't think you fix it this year. Part of this is that nobody wants to go down there, to your point, and see American Conference basketball. I think Memphis basketball, unfortunately, has a problem Memphis football doesn't have with its conference. Nobody, you know, you win the American in football, there's a chance you're going to be in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Right? You win the American in basketball, don't mean a hill of beans
most anything.
Season. Unless you went 10-3 in your non-con,
right,
which was more important, oh, we'll give you a 5 seed. But that's the point.
Exactly. Can I just stop you and make a point real quick?
Please,
there?
Please.
Because people keep saying Memphis will win the American. Memphis will win the American. Memphis will win the American.
And in the tournament.
That does not guarantee that. It does not guarantee that at all. Winning the American does not mean you are getting, and I'm talking about regular season.
Yeah.
It does not. In fact, South Florida did that 2 years ago and was left out. They weren't even on the bubble, and they because they didn't beat anybody in the non-conference.
Right.
Which, by the way, neither has Memphis. Unless and until they do, Memphis is going to find itself in the same situation as South Florida. Even if they win the American, being left out of the tournament unless they do something in these next 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, again, that can happen. Where are we going to be if it does with Penny Hardaway?
That's a great question.
You know,
and I think it's starting to become something to think about. I mean, again, we'll let the season play out. If they make the tournament, if they somehow find a way to win a couple of these games.
Winning the conference, to me, has always meant you better win your tournament. Now, though, you have to, is the point that you're making.
Exactly.
That's how it's going to happen. You don't have a 10-3 on your hands in terms of the non-con. You've already lost to UNLV, dropped 2 in the Bahamas.
Yep.
And, you know, you could be staring, even as the automatic qualifier, a double-digit seed rather than the 8 or 9 that you usually
exit. You'll squeak into the tournament. It's not going to fundamentally change the view of Memphis basketball from fans.
So back by the point, my point on that, where we were, is that you have an understanding of that from the fan base. Like, there's, how do I get excited about that? My point is, you're talking about, in the end, you're asking about fixing this. I don't know that it can be fixed in the way you're thinking about. until this thing is out of this conference.
Well, I agree with that.
You will never
have
15 to 18 down there again.
Totally agree.
With this situation right now in this conference for basketball.
I totally agree.
And you don't get out of the out of this conference putting basketball at the forefront. That's been your history, yep. And it hasn't worked.
Yep.
Again, back to the point why you have to shift. That does not mean ignore basketball.
Right.
This is a problem. The attendance level, Ed Scott's got to be.
Yep.
I mean, Penny, what's plan? There has to be some urgency.
They depend on the money from that building.
Believe me, I fully understand it. Again, I continue to question how much does Penny Wheeler want this?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the other thing about it, man. I mean, you see it right now. Their folks want him out at this minute. Oh, you got the football coach. Now you're blessed. Now get a new basketball
coach. Well, we're not doing that.
And if attendance continues to go down and you have underperforming seasons, that's only going to get worse for, again, a hometown hero.
Correct.
Who at one point during his career here, during his tenure,
yep.
felt offended by the heat and everything else. Again, and I can understand it. Again,
yep.
human nature, putting ourselves in Penny's shoes.
That's right.
Man's done everything right for his whole career. Been a favorite son of Memphis.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you tell him he can't coach. You know, I felt personally attacked. We could get back to that territory because y'all know what Memphis does. It will continue to eat and eat and eat and criticize. Is that worth it to him?
Mm-hmm.
That tarnishing, potentially, yep. of his reputation here in his own town if it continues to go this route?
Right.
Now, he got to win, man. And the bottom line is that.
Well, the team's 3-4. I mean, they're under 500. I mean, that's the first place you have to start.
You lost to UNLV. You have to make it up
on
Saturday with a game against a Baylor team that, yes, has all the you know, in terms of the analytics, all the reason to run you off the floor, according to that, but they're new. Like, there's an opportunity there. You know, they're still trying to figure out who their guys are and everything else. I know they've beaten Creighton. They've done a lot more than you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that said, they return zero minutes.
They're a tournament team. That's what I would say about them. That's about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you need to beat a tournament team on your home court. Especially when you're trying to make up for UNLV and not getting the Wake Forest win.
Ken Pom's got it 80-77 Baylor. I mean, so that's you know, you're a 42%, you know, based on Ken Pom's analytics, you're 42%. You gotta find a way to win that one. I mean, that's the best chance that, honestly, because Vandy is unbelievable, right? Like, Vandy is a different class. I don't even think people realize that Vandy is a top 7 team at Ken Pom. Like they're coming in here, and you know, you can look at it and you can say it's Vandy,
yep.
but I don't know if I would necessarily circle that one. They're 6 at Torvik, they're 7 at Ken Pom. That's going to be tough. It's Baylor for me, and it's at Mississippi State. Of the four, mm-hmm. those feel like the ones that you can get. Because I think Louisville's going to look at Memphis like a relief. They lost last night to Indiana, and then they play somebody. I think they. It's another ranked team they play. They lost to Minnesota, then they play Indiana. I'm botching this. Sorry. Louisville just lost last night to Arkansas.
I was going
to
say.
Then they play
Richmond
Indiana
was pretty good.
On Saturday, and then they play you the week after. So what I'm saying is, they're going to look at you like a sigh of relief from the kind of caliber of teams they've been seeing, you know, the last couple of weeks. So I don't think at Louisville is the one. But I think, listen, to your point, it is a multitude of issues. I think you have to start with the fact that this team's 3-4. They're not good right now. Can they be good at the end of the season? It's possible. I don't know if I would bet on it, but it's possible. They'll be good relative to their conference, and I think that's a good place to start. What does that mean for attendance, though? Like, is that enough for people in terms of attendance? Obviously, it is not, because Memphis won 29 games last year. They were a 5 seed, and it didn't make an impact, you know.
Yeah. But attendance been going down.
It has
for a while.
Across
they haven't been getting the full
well.
Payout. You know, I know there's a renewed
right.
Yeah, what do they do? Rework the lease agreement between the two.
Right.
But you could be looking at less than 6,000 actual turnstile count on average this year, which used to be that number. If you fell below, no payout.
Yes.
They've had to have factored that in as they shift for a while.
Oh,
now.
I agree with that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's not to say you don't have a problem on your hands.
Right.
But, you know, they've seen this coming for a while probably. I mean, to see Penny walk out there last night in some of those videos and just how sparse it was.
Absolutely.
You know, one hand here, one hand there, high-fiving. Just when I think about him, and Penny used to sort of, back when I covered it, and maybe this is too much, but whether or not Penny was sitting at the game when he was the ambassador was sort of a gauge of how big the game was.
Yep.
And that, and the place be full, but Penny be sitting there in front row as an ambassador donor, right? I mean, the guy that, you know, well, like we said, favorite son and everything else, but also as an important part of this program. And you used to, you know, whether or not Penny, this team was performing well or not, you know, him sitting there, him sort of being the barometer, big games, everything. I just, it made me question whether Penny the ambassador would have been there last night watching.
That's a very, very, very
and what he would have thought of where it is now, watching himself, Penny the coach this thing, and seeing where it is now.
Yep.
So few folks down there.
Yep.
You said announced 9,000, one of his lowest in terms of
lowest ever.
Lowest ever for
non-COVID.
Him. Non-COVID. And non-COVID
regular
announced.
Season, yeah.
We know it's even fewer than that because of butts in seats. What would Penny the ambassador, who used to be the gauge, would he have even gone down there last night?
No doubt. No, he
probably
would not.
Probably not. And so that's got to – if that's not a gauge of things, I don't know what is because that's the – And you know, that's why I always said if you go this route, this was the concern.
No question. Because
everybody said, well, don't you know what? If it's going to be special, you don't worry about the end.
That's right.
I remember Jeff kind of talking to me.
Yep.
Yeah, we kind of talked it through. You did too.
Yep.
Hey, you don't worry about that. You go ahead and take it. But, bro, we are approaching that territory.
Oh, well, we're approaching
here.
It.
I mean, we're in the neighborhood. We're in the zip code
for
sure.
What I would say is, like, if Memphis misses the tournament, it's decision time. Right? Like,
unfortunately, we'll have to be.
Yes.
But I think decision time for Penny.
Oh, that too.
Going
back to
the point about the ambassador. Because
decisions for everybody.
What can happen here is you still want the gig, but it's time for you to leave.
Well,
I
worry about that.
Because
I do think, like, his pride will kick in and he will say, I promised that I was going to do this. I promised Memphis that I was going to lead this team back to the glory days.
I will just say, and we're saying that this is realistic, but he is handcuffed in a sense. You've talked about it. You've chronicled it. You're going to give him $4 to $5 million. Who's going to?
I agree with that.
Who's going to do great?
I agree
with a
that.
Roster that's $4 to $5 million.
Yep.
Against most nights, right? Certainly in the non-con, rosters of $8 to $22 million.
Yep.
Who's going to come in here and run in here and say, "Oh, I got that," and go run it to the Sweet 16 and national championships?
Let me ask this.
Please do,
because I think this has become a labor-intensive job. What if a reset button was hit because Penny, I think, and I understand this, I'm not blaming him for this, but I think Penny has always been of the mind, and I think he's gotten better about this over the years, but I think for a long time it was like, I'm Penny, you give me money because I am Penny, right? And it's less beating down the doors, hitting the streets, right? I think this job, as we see with the attendance last night, has become, we got to go back to the days of Larry Fitz driving the Isuzu around Memphis to get people reengaged back in this program. And is Penny is it in his DNA?
No, that's a fair point.
Being who he is to do that, and I think the answer to that is no. Like, I don't think he doesn't need the money. He's a legend. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do that. I don't think he feels like he has to do it. People should come to see me because I'm Penny, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the part.
Unfortunately, it's about your product now.
It totally is.
When you're in year eight, that's your point. When we started this, it
was
about supporting
Penny.
Him.
And people did.
And fixing
and
this.
And people did.
Right.
And now they're like, hey, this is year eight. You haven't won more than one tournament game. You know, and again, these are just
And times have changed.
And times have absolutely changed. I mean,
so have resources, clearly.
You used to have the biggest budget. Now you have a middling budget at best, right? I mean, so
That's part of it, too.
But okay, how do you turn that middling budget into a bigger budget, right? You have to get people wanting to be involved again. And I think that is the place where
you're doing it at a time where you're trying to pour things into football, too.
That's exactly right.
Trying to get people excited about basketball and pump more
into it when
the speeches have been, dude, we got to maximize on this football side.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have a 100 boosters here that you can keep going to.
That's
what we've always said about Memphis. It's a select group.
That's right.
How can you continue to ask for more and more and more? Point is, they're stuck, bro.
They're in a bad spot.
Again, maybe that pumps back up if you're in the Big East.
Oh, it will.
Or you're in the power structure.
It would.
People get excited and they're willing to throw that money in.
Yes.
When they saw it last year, again, it got them a five, but in the end, you don't even get the tournament win out of it.
That's right.
Maybe it would take some guy that's just going to come in here and work with less.
Yes.
And still.
That's right.
But I don't know that you'll have that you can get the pouring into like you're talking about.
You may not be able to.
Even with
you
another
may not
coach.
Be able to.
But at some point, you will have to try. You have to try.
I mean, that's,
you
the, can't that's keep the thing.
Letting it die on that's the vine. Thing. That's where we're, yes, yes.
And
yes.
it's a look.
They cannot miss the tournament, bro. It'd be in such a bad space that, yes, these conversations would have to be had and have to be had in a serious manner.
And I think, look, let's say this. Let's say they make the tournament, right? Yeah. Let's say that attendance continues to kind of be bad, but they make the tournament.
Right.
So then what's the conversation? Then I think the conversation is, like, what are we doing with Memphis basketball, right?
Well,
that I think they have to decide, and you're right. Like, I'm not asking to take away from football, but, like, something has to give here, because obviously just making the tournament is not going to fix the attendance problem down there. It's just not. I mean, people aren't moved by it. I mean, I wish they were. I wish it was good enough to make the tournament, because in my mind it is, based on their budget and you know, things like that. But
yes.
I'm not a season ticket holder, and I'm really not the person that they're depending on to be down there. So I do think, like, what do you do if it's like, it's not the, it's kind of easy in a way if they miss the tournament. Like, it's, I mean, not easy, but it's like, it's kind of streamlined for you. It's like, we have to do something. And there's only one thing we can really do, right? We can't get into another league. We can't, there's only one choice we can make. But what if it's kind of like the in between, where it's like, you make the tournament, you win the American Conference, but it doesn't solve that's the part I don't know. You know, I don't think you can fire Penny. I don't think you would fire Penny after that if they make the tournament, because there's still value in that. And he's still obviously doing a good enough job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'd have to say, like, are we putting more money into this? Are we, you know, are we going for it again? I mean, I at some point you got to give the guy a chance. So I don't know. I think it's a really tough conversation. I think absolutely the rules of the game changed on Penny. There's no doubt about that. So I definitely do. I sympathize in many ways. I think that's...
It's a much harder job.
Yeah, it's a way harder job, because here's the other part.
What's happened with revenue sharing and what these folks are spending on basketball rosters now.
That's exactly right. I think you talk about football. Football is football. People love going to football games. They love the experience of going to football games. It's a totally different, game day deal. They tailgate, they drink, they do all, it's just a different, people, we love football in America. Mm. It's the most popular sport. Basketball is not the most popular sport. And so that you have that, I do think people are turned off by the transfer portal. That hits college basketball way harder than it does in football.
Right.
Because you don't even really know the players in football that much. You know the quarterback, you know, maybe a receiver or something, you know, so I think that hurts. Mm-hmm. So it all weighs in, it all goes into it. So I don't think any solution is obvious.
But you've agreed that with the program's expectations historically, Sweet 16,
mm-hmm.
national championship appearances, that the price of that now,
totally,
you've been priced out. So that would mean a changing of,
I think,
fan
so.
Expectations.
Yes,
media. I've heard you and Jeff talking about this. Don't the media expectations now? We said Sweet 16. If you've only got 4 to 5 million, everybody else got 8 to 22.
Well, yes.
How can we still have Sweet 16?
I don't.
Don't times have to change?
That's absolutely. What
you have to update your priors in the way it's covered. And
I mean, you're going to have to start paying your royalty on how that you enjoy it or not, if you keep using it, man.
Until you are in another conference.
Yeah. No. I say tournament every year is good enough. Like, if you make the tournament annually, it's good enough.
It has to be lowered when your spot has been lowered, just in terms of just out of finances and everything else in the landscape of college athletics. And you can't spend what the SEC is spending on these rosters.
You just can't.
You can't go ask for that.
Yes.
You know, from donors. So that's what I'm saying, and even more importantly, why you have to, focus on. Man, because that's the thing. You can get some of this back if you were in a.
Oh, I think it would
a big
come back
boy
very,
conference.
Well,
people
you'd
would
have
be
more
so
money.
Relieved.
You'd have more money.
The money's going to help you off top. I mean, my gosh, it's going to be like turning the shower.
Because the Big East television deal would be more lucrative for basketball than it would be in the American. But even these A-10 teams that don't have football, right?
But how do you really address it in that time before the realignment stuff? In these the same 3 to 5 year window we've used.
I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make that choice.
Do your best. So it's going to be whether or not Penny or some young guy that says, you know what? Yeah, that looks hard, but I'll go do it. I think Memphis
could hire a coach, but in terms of if you're saying in this stipulation that they're still winning the American and going to the tournament, the American Conference tournament, and they're still going every year, I think you just kind of bide your time and just hope that you find a life raft.
It's just, are you, fixing Memphis basketball with a coach, or are you fixing it with a conference change?
Well,
led by football.
I would rather fix it with a conference.
It needs to be the latter.
But if I can't get into a new conference, what do I do? I can't move out of. I mean, I think that building is an albatross on the program at this point. You know, you're playing in front of it looks like a cave.
Mm-hmm. You're getting nothing out of it.
You know, I mean, so yeah. I think the number, right, for any college basketball team in 2025 is 10. You know, that's the right number for a venue. Just around the cut, like Duke's is 9,000-10,000, and that's perfectly fine. Like, you never hear people say, man, this needs to be bigger than 9 or 10, you know, because it's an experience when you go and it's fun and it's all that. I think Louisville's is pretty big, but Louisville is a one team town, you know?
Yeah.
That's all they have.
What we used to be.
And when it was really all Memphis had, it used to be 18,000 in there.
Yeah.
But now we got more things to do. We got the Grizzlies.
The Tigers are no longer the city's professional franchise. That's what they were.
We got that soccer team that's coming that I know you're excited about.
Yep.
That's going to play on your golf course out there in Cordova.
Make sure they sign Kissadoo.
The who?
Kissadoo.
Who is that?
He's one of the players from 901 FC.
Okay.
Kissadoo.
All right. Well,
exciting player for them.
I think we officially fixed Memphis basketball today, didn't we?
We didn't.
Just get to the Big East. Otherwise, I mean, them crowds in the American, bro.
What? When are you going to get it through your thick skull that the Big East don't want you?
I'll never
get it. What do you think? You're going to have 2 years of making the Sweet 16, the Big East going to say, oh, yeah, now we want you. They don't want you, bro. They look at you the same way the Big 12
does. Their league is bad. Creighton's out of the tournament. They have like three teams right now in the NCAA tournament.
Why wouldn't they wait on the big blow up? Why are they going to add Memphis now?
Who would they get, though? Who would they wouldn't
well,
they,
well, you get the aftermath. I'm just saying. They said tectonic is what this shift has been talked about, and you're waiting to see until then. You're going to make a move before then?
I don't think any of those programs that would be implicated in that blow-up would be willing to split, though. I don't think they'd be willing to put – Memphis, obviously, is so desperate that they would. I don't know if there is any – I mean, maybe there is, but would their basketball program be better than Memphis historically?
I think with its desperation, if the Big East really thought that you're going to add something, they would have already taken you in. It's guys talked to it, and them folks ain't picking
up
the phone.
Well, and the problem is, you're a tournament team in the American. You probably wouldn't be in a perennial tournament team.
Not on $4 to $5 million.
In the Big East.
But even if you got to the Big East, maybe you could get it to 10. Maybe
You could argue, if you're sitting me down with the Big East commissioner, I would make this case. I would say, listen – don't even worry about this year. We got outgunned by everybody. But the year before revenue share kicked in, and when 4.5 to 5 million was near the top of America, look what we did. We were 10-3
right,
with a brand new team. We ran through the conference. We were a 5 seed. We would have won against Colorado State had we not lost our top 2 point guards, right? Thanks to some self-sabotage from he who shall not be named on the show, even though he did get a reference yesterday, amazingly, still. I would say look at what we did last year when our budget compared. Don't look at this year. Our budget doesn't compare. You know, look at last year. I think that's a compelling case. And maybe that's not enough because there's political things going on, and we know that. But I think the Big East needs some depth. I mean, they need some, you know.
Oh, it's always been real easy validity to see it from our side, bro.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think they look at it like, hey.
You had people like Patino, you know, campaigning for you. I'm falling still ain't getting.
He's moved on to campaigning for Dayton now.
Yeah, because he knows we're hopeless in terms of trying to get us up there.
Yeah,
his peers won't take us.
Well, I mean it's a real weird spot for Memphis basketball right now. That I mean, while it may not be number one anymore, it still does matter.
And it matters.
And what do you do when, you know, you have to make a difficult decision involving an icon, potentially? Now, if he makes a tournament, it's not really a decision. Then you got to think about, do we put more in it? Do we just kind of roll it like this? So I think that's really the harder one.
But it matters less than it did when he was hired because of football.
It does. It does. You guys are really pushing this football propaganda on me.
It's not propaganda. You're bought in because you know it to be the truth.
Well, that's what y'all tell me. So
the higher ceiling is on football right now, and you have to be ready for 2030.
Right.
You agree with those points?
I mean, football is the most popular sport in America. That's just the undeniable
bro,
truth.
Bro, look out there on that Thanksgiving Day against Navy. Right. I mean, wasn't it cold out there too?
Yeah.
You out the race.
I like
them
football.
Them folks were out there rabid wanting to beat Navy.
I like football, Jason. You
got no juice downtown at the Forum.
Well,
zero juice.
The team's 3-4, man. What if the team was 7-0?
They're still in it. Okay? They ain't played the American schedule yet.
Technically,
there were 20-something thousand out there. Out of it.
Mathematically.
You telling me where the greater ceiling is and where the potential is if you get the right coach in there. Don't mess this up.
No, I mean.
Don't mess this up. Ed, Bill, Hargrave, you guys.
I agree.
All of us, we going to still be living here. That's still going to be our university when Hargrave and Ed Scott have moved on. This is a crossroads for us.
It is.
You understand what I'm saying?
But with that being said, and you said it.
Cannot miss it.
That program downtown that plays downtown is too proud to let die. And that feels like what is happening
right
now.
Well, times have changed again. You built the form on the fact that you had a professional team in town and the top Memphis Tigers, right? And what you said is, we'll fill it up eventually with the Grizzlies. But that was the advantage that you had with somebody that could come in there and fill it up on most nights because where Tigers basketball was getting to.
That's right.
And so, but now you've just laid it out. College basketball has changed too much.
I don't even think if the Grizzlies ended up, like if they were a lottery team for 4 years in a row, I still don't think it would matter to Memphis basketball attendance because of that league.
Again, this is why we must get in the larger conference to have the money to build a new place for basketball.
Right.
Because eventually you will have to. This is not sustainable.
Yeah.
To continue to get nothing out of the least the Grizz. And you're
there. I mean, because it's costing cost. Them. They said last night they didn't even open like parts of the terrace level.
But again, some of that is, yes, you're losing. You haven't done enough. But a lot of that's just the times.
That's
and
right.
And times change.
Times do
and
change.
And you have to change. Eventually, that has to be the future.
Yes.
Because I don't think you're ever filling up that building again. There might be, you know, seasons, but where sporadically you have it full.
It used to be 18,000 guaranteed every night.
That's what you sold to the recruits.
Right. And I would also say, too, like,
times changed.
You know, cost goes into it, right? To get down there and park and pay and food and family. Yeah. Like, for an opponent that is, you know, you're going to be a 16.5 point favorite against, like, there's the last night of the, like, that factor, these games are more widely available in the comfort of your own home than they were, you know, 17 years ago.
What we need in those renovations is a side arena.
A side arena, bro?
For the Tigers.
A side arena? Like a garage?
I'm looking at Brad because that situation that y'all got
in
Vegas with two that are connected.
Oh, Thomas and Mac, and I don't remember the other one, Brad. You got the
Mendenhall.
What is it?
Mendenhall.
They're connected.
I think it's Cox Pavilion,
Cox
actually.
Pavilion.
That's what makes it so great for the summer league.
They have three facilities. Yeah,
But he's talking about
my
Cox.
You're talking about Cox. They're not too.
And we make
well,
it
well, it's UNLV. It's a little different.
You understand what I'm saying? We build a little 10,000 seat.
Cox room. Only holds 2,400.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how small. I mean, you're talking about.
I didn't realize it's that tiny.
Are you a subscriber to the Carson plan that they should play in the El Marrón Fieldhouse?
No. That's a
slap. I stand
in
by
our
that.
Face.
Brad is very proud of that one.
And he's got an honest
I stand
right
by
now.
That take.
He has
of
an army. He has an army that could fill El Marrón Field.
We could fill. I think you guys could fill it. I do. I think you could fill El Marrón and pack it out, and it'll look like Duke.
Yeah, it'll look just like Duke.
I used to have.
It will be a full arena with students.
It's like a high
it'll be
school.
Like, it'll be like that Arkansas video with Silverfield. There'll be students in it too.
They should just play at White Station. They should just play the at the Spartan Palace.
How many does the Spartan Palace fit?
It's
1,000, right?
I think it holds maybe a little more since the renovation.
I think they could fill that.
Yeah, I'd have to.
Guys are disrespectful.
No, I think filling arenas is important.
Yeah, that's why we should go to DeSoto.
I don't think you need to go to DeSoto. Yeah. Donnie, I disagree with that. We got to stay in.
Well, it's the University of Memphis. Yeah, you don't play games
you need
in
to
Mississippi.
Be in Memphis.
I mean, let's
disagree with that.
I mean, I think people are
Hustle do it all the time. They're the Memphis Hustle when they play in Mississippi.
That is true. That is true.
They actually just got. I just got the press release. I don't know if you heard it. They're now called the Mid-South Hustle.
Nah.
They just rebranded.
Again, in terms of, you know, actual seats, that's what we need.
That is false, by the way.
You guys talking about El Marrón. So, and John, you're
El Marrón.
I do not subscribe to that.
Hey, yeah, we could do it on.
You encouraged 10,000. Him, though, with it.
Well,
you said the whole side
building with the damn
shed. And it isn't a joke. That's the thing. Well, it's literally not a joke. That is not hyperbole.
You have to have 10,000 because you're going to have SEC games and non-conference games and things like that. It's not that damn bad.
Well, like Duke uses what's Duke fit? 12,000?
I think it's less than that. It's like 9, 10.
When are y'all going to build it right next to the bank and demolish the Coliseum and rebuild us a new one?
Never.
It's closer. Why?
9,314 seats for Cameron Indoor.
Good size.
But again, you know, that's like a historic thing, too. That's why they won't touch it. It's like, you know, this was built in 1940, and it's got all the history, and we're not going to turn this into.
I thought it was asbestos, and it's $10 million to knock it down, or something. This is why we're so.
Well,
slow.
Well, I was talking about the Cameron Indoor.
Oh,
you're talking
Cameron.
About
excuse me. But yes, I'm on Coliseum.
Same thing, though. I mean, people have nostalgia about that, so they won't. They
that's
won't.
What we need.
That's where they should play. They should just do that again.
It's right next to where you play the football games now.
And very sensible.
What are we talking about here?
I do think.
I mean, that's
yes.
That's what needs to happen.
I think the fact that yes, you're
agree.
You're asking people to go downtown for both basketball teams. So choices have to get made about going downtown.
Right, and you need a smaller venue.
If you ask people to go to Midtown for one and downtown for the other, I think different calculations will be made. They made a short-term decision, it feels like, when they opened the Forum and whenever it was. They thought that this would be like this forever with Tiger basketball. Woohoo! And obviously, it ain't. I guess they shared the building at the Pyramid. But that was mostly a Tiger facility for the majority of the time, right? Yep. So I think that was a mistake. I think that you would look back and you would say that agreeing to share the building with the Grizzlies for the Tiger basketball program was a mistake. Like somebody suggested it last night, do like what, you know, a lot of college basketball teams do, have a home venue, and then you play in the Forum like four times a year as part of a special thing,
yeah,
you know?
There you go.
As part of like, I think St. John, like when the St. John's plays in the Garden, right? Like that, you do it like that. You don't play every single game in the Garden. But again, I don't think we're going to fix this all today. Memphis beat New Orleans last night, 86-70, and all y'all want to talk about is El Marrone. I think y'all should be ashamed.
Yeah, have some respect for this program's history.
14 points in the net.
What we've accomplished here.
Yeah.
Just don't look at the last 16 years,
right?
And say that's who they are.
Well, and look, I understand that, right? I mean, I understand. If you didn't live in Memphis and you didn't grow up in Memphis, and you just see what Memphis is like, I'm talking about Brad's perspective, right? He's like put him in the Kirby High School gym, right? Like Brad can't believe how we talk about Memphis, although he should because he's a UNLV fan. You were talking about brands that are faded,
and no disagreement,
you know,
zero disagreement.
And I don't know where I don't know how many Thomas and Mack holds. I don't know, you know, what their situation is, but I assume they're
big.
Struggling with
it's
it
the
as
same.
Well.
They so, should play. Yeah. They actually should play in Cox.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.